muscles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's common knowledge that after age 30, our metabolism changes. We have less energy and gain weight easier. There's a way to feel better, not in years or months, but sometimes in just days.
I'm Chuck Norris. I tried everything. Working with a team of health experts, we came up with Morning Kick. Morning Kick is a revolutionary new formula that combines all my favorite supplements into one daily drink.
Morning Kick has probiotics to help you lose weight, prebiotics for digestion, superfoods for muscles and joints, and powerful anti-aging supplements. It'll help you feel youthful, energized, and helps manage stress.
I look and feel better than I have in years.
Go to roundhouseprovisions.com, use code SAVE, or text SAVE to 511-511 and claim 40% off. roundhouseprovisions.com, code SAVE.
Every purchase comes with our 90-day money-back guarantee. You could be feeling these changes within just a couple of days.
Text SAVE to 511-511.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Text fees may apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Former President Trump has agreed to sit for an FBI interview as part of its investigation into the assassination attempt at a rally in Pennsylvania. President Biden will outline suggested reforms for the Supreme Court in a visit to the LBJ Library in Austin, Texas. They include allowing a president to nominate a justice every 2 years and to limit the terms for the justices to 18 years. The White House says it has serious concerns about the results of Venezuela's presidential election, which grants Nicolas Maduro a third term.
We've seen the announcement by Venezuelan electoral authorities, and quite frankly, we have serious concerns that the result, as announced, does not reflect the will and the votes the Venezuelan people.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, opposition candidate Edmundo Gonzalez, has also contested the results. This is ABC News. A new blood test has, rather, Massey's death has been ruled a homicide. A new blood test has been approved to check for colon cancer.
The FDA just approved a blood test called Shield that can screen for colon cancer, the second leading cause of cancer deaths in this country. The test has been commercially available, but the FDA approval will open the path for insurance coverage and make it more widely available. The new test is approved for people 45 and over with average risk. A colonoscopy is still the gold standard for screening, but not enough people get colonoscopy, so this simple blood test may make it easier.
That's ABC's Eva Pilgrim. It was a rare down quarter for the biggest fast food chain in the world for the first time since 2020, when the pandemic shuttered McDonald's and millions of people stayed home. Profits at the Golden Arches fell 1%. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams July Summer Sale and get 35% off paints and stains from July 26th through August 5th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. State committee is studying potential regulation for artificial intelligence in Wisconsin. The committee's chair, State Senator Julian Bradley, says the goal is to establish guardrails for lawmakers to consider when drafting policy.
Because we're looking for, are there places where it's necessary for government intervention at this time? This is such a new and emerging technology. We're just scratching the surface. And in 6 months, the information we're going to have now is already going to be slightly out of date because we're going to have new data.
The Legislative Council Study Committee on AI held its first hearing at the Capitol last week. A new study committee will examine ways to control Wisconsin's sandhill crane population.
The big birds with the long bills and even longer legs can be a real problem when they swoop down on farm fields by the dozens or hundreds. A 12-member study committee is scheduled to meet this Thursday at Horicon Marsh State Wildlife Area. Committee members include state lawmakers, farmers, and conservationists. They've been asked to come up with recommendations, including a possible hunting season. That's something opposed by the Baraboo-based International Crane Foundation. Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Statue of groundbreaking civil rights leader Vel Phillips was unveiled at the Capitol in Madison Saturday. Her son, attorney Michael Phillips.
My mother was about bringing people together. She liked people. She cheered for people. She listened to them. So I'm quite proud of the piece that we have here.
The statue honors the first black woman elected to the Common Council in Milwaukee, where she led the fight for fair housing. Phillips was also the first black person elected to statewide office and was the state's first black judge. Vel Phillips died in Milwaukee in 2018 at the age of 95. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Do you owe back taxes? Call Tax Solutions now and get some help. For a limited time, the IRS offers a tax forgiveness program called the Fresh Start Initiative. Our team can make it easier for you to pay back taxes, avoid tax liens, and get a fresh start.
I call Tax Solutions now, and they got the IRS off my back.
Call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193. 800-281-8193.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy by later this afternoon. High today in the mid-80s with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a high of 88. More scattered thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. Do you need help with back taxes? Call 800-281-8193. Tax Solutions Now, they can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 83.
The selling pressure on bean prices lightened throughout the session, but prices were still solidly lower at the end of the day. Wheat prices helped corn stay on the top side of unchanged. Cotton started the week with a strong rally, while live cattle, feeder cattle, and lean hog futures all saw heavy selling.
Live from one of the best Mondays ever, continuing on via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, our guest analyst is Dave Chatterton. Chip, who's Dave with?
Dave is with Strategic Farm Marketing. Okay. Big Apple Joe.
Thank you very much, Strategic Farm Marketing, everybody. Yep. We will also hear from Jack Scoville of the Price Futures Group. Carrie Artek will give us chart updates from Artek Advisory. I'm Big Apple Joe Stackler, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
It's like the best Monday ever, isn't it?
It keeps the Monday that keeps on giving.
The Monday that just keeps on giving. Yes. Fantastic. Thank you so much, Big Apple. Joe Davis has got the day off. He will be back with us tomorrow. Welcome. Welcome to AgriTalk. Wow. When we opened up for this overnight session and corn gaps down, beans gap down, it looked like it was going to be kind of a free fall in the markets, and it was for a while. The soybean market in particular traded sharply lower. Did come back to close well off session highs. I'd even call it a high range close that we saw in the bean market. But nonetheless, we were still under some heavy pressure. That soybean oil market has really, really been an anchor on bean prices here recently. Wheat led the way to the upside. And then over in that cattle trade, cattle gapped higher. I thought it was going to be a really good start to the week. And instead, as soon as the market made that move up towards Friday's highs, then the profit-taking came back in and turned the market to the downside. It turned into some heavy selling in the soy or in the live cattle, feeder cattle markets, and lean hogs kind of led the way to the downside there as well. So kind of a tough day in the livestock trade. We're going to talk about all that with Dave. Looking forward to the conversation with Dave Chatterton, Strategic Farm Marketing. He's been on the show before, but he was on the show with Michelle Rook. This is the first time I've had a chance to talk to Dave on the show, so I'm looking forward to getting to know him a bit. All right, let's go ahead and get started with some news as soon as we get this ready to go. Here we go. Wheat futures opened lower and slipped to a new low before recovering on short covering to post a high range close. Still, December soft red winter wheat futures well below resistance at last week's high of 594. Wheat export inspections in the week ended July 25 totaled 431,000 metric tons. That was in line with trade expectations. The weather outlook for Russia and Ukraine has turned hotter and drier, which could trim some production from the 2024 wheat crop. But that thing, the Russian wheat estimate, the Ukraine wheat estimate, it's been an up and down seesaw affair all growing season. I'm not going to get too worked up about the estimates on the Russian crop or the weather outlook for that matter. Trade sources indicate Russian grown grain movement has slowed as exporters wait more info on the supply side of the market. December HRW wheat futures 7.25 cents higher at 569.25. December SRW wheat up 6.75 cents to 555.25. September spring wheat closed at 591.5. That was up 3 cents on the day. Corn futures were under pressure to start the session. Spillover selling from heavy pressure on the soy complex got the blame. December corn futures gapped lower and fell to within 0.25 cent of support at last week's low before turning back to the upside. The high range close in December corn should set the stage for a return to the 420 level at some point this week. Got to test that resistance out again. Export inspections of corn in the week ended July 25, 1.06 million metric tons. That was a good number. It was right at the high end of trade expectations. The forecast does call for hotter temperatures in the Corn Belt this week, but conditions are expected to be relatively stress-free. Now, when I say that knowing that it's getting drier in the southern areas of the production. We've had all the issues in the southeast U.S. with some dry conditions down there. And, of course, we're still trying to figure out exactly what some of the problems that we had this spring are going to cause when we run the combines a little bit later this year. September corn futures 1.75 cents higher, 396.25. December corn up 2.25 to 412.25. March corn futures closed at 427. That was up 2.5 cents. Chart-based selling sent bean prices sharply lower early in the session, and beans spent the rest of the day trying to recover from that gap lower open. November beans left the gap from 1045 to 1044.5 and fell through support at the month's low before prices recovered to post the high range close. Still, that gap keeps downside momentum solidly with the sellers. It has been a washout in the bean oil market since last Tuesday. August bean oil has closed lower in 5 consecutive sessions with prices more than a nickel, down more than a nickel. In that time, lack of yield threat has opened additional risk for bean prices. September beans, 12.5 cents, make that 12 cents lower at 10.30. November beans down 9 cents to 10.39.5. December cotton, 122 points higher at 69.21. August live cattle today, $1.60 lower, 186.97. August feeders, 327 lower at 256.42.5. And August hogs, we're 202.5 lower at 91.45. All right, let's get to Jack Scovo, Price Futures Group. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. What's up?
Well, not a whole... Hey, corn closed higher. Wheat was higher. I felt pretty good about that, but the soy complex has been a real anchor here lately, hasn't it?
Yeah, it really has. And I suppose it seems like the nearby months, the old crop months, lost the most, so... You know, that seems to be more of a demand-based thing than anything going on with production. But, boy, it's been really something. And, you know, hopefully the beans were bottoming out today. They kind of felt like they were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the simple fact that corn gap lower and then came back and closed higher on the day. You got to feel pretty good about that.
Oh, I do. I thought corn acted great. I thought wheat acted great. The grains acted fine. It was really the soybeans that really had the trouble. And it just seems like, and that's kind of why, another reason why I feel like the beans maybe are bottoming out here.
Yeah.
I think corn and wheat can continue to rally a little bit. And if they do, it's going to be tough for beans to maintain this type of downside momentum that they've been going on for the last couple of weeks.
Yep. Here it is, July 29th. We're at the end of the month, Jack, and we haven't really had a summer weather scare on this crop yet. It's baffling to me.
Well, the last couple of years, August has been the month, so we'll see what happens next month. But you're right. The weather's been really very good. A little bit of heat, but not enough, but with some moisture around. So it's been really, really good weather generally.
Yep.
And I'm expecting top yields when Jerry and I go out and look at the corn next week.
I'm going to be looking forward to that report. Thank you so much, Jack. Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Dave Chatterton, Strategic Farm Marketing, is next.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations, so it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/greatest yields.
Farming is unlike any other job in the world. It takes years of experience to really walk the walk. Same goes for your financial partner, which is why choosing FBN Finance makes so much sense. FBN Finance was created by farmers to help you become even more competitive with flexible terms, rates, and instant approvals up to $2.5 million for qualified applicants. And right now, get $500 off closing costs for farmland loans over $250,000. Start your farmland loan today at fbn.com/agritalk or call 833-FBN-LEND. That's 833-FBN-LEND. FBN Finance, more than a lender. Financing offered by FBN Finance LLC and its lending partners. Available where FBN Finance LLC is licensed. Terms and conditions may apply. NMLS ID 1631119.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Retirement can be...
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers at the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
I don't know what you're thinking. So call us at 855-4-TALK-AG and tell us what's on your mind.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. Hey, I'm going to hit you with the livestock news here just real quick. August live cattle opened higher and near session highs and closed near session lows. Box beef prices steady to higher. Good movement, 80 loads, but profit taking entered the market after the higher open. Like I said, August live cattle, $1.60 lower, 186.97 and a half. October Futures down $1.75, 186.80. August feeders 327 lower, 256.42.5. August lean hogs gapped lower and on session highs and posted a low range close. Support is at 90.65, which is about 80 cents below where we closed today. So probably see a test of that tomorrow. The October contract fell 337.5 to 74.82.5. Dave Chatterton is with Strategic Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst today. Dave, it's good to get to know you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chip. It's Monday. A little bit of rain here in central Illinois, so we're doing okay.
Good, good, good. Guys that you're talking with over in that area, how are things looking?
Yeah, looking pretty good. Pretty quiet from the country right now, even after a rain. You know, not a lot of text or phone calls today. I think that's indicative of what's going on. The whisper yields are going higher here. We have, a number of producers in, let's say, the central and northern thirds of the state that are quietly optimistic for something near or even at a record yield. I think in the southern third of the state and a few other pockets here and there, that optimism isn't quite as high. But Illinois generally, you know, I'm not sure where the record crop is a state, but certainly it's not. It's very far from a disaster. Yields are going to be the easy part of the equation, I think, come harvest. The pricing and the marketing are going to, of course, be the tougher ones.
Yeah. With the crop conditions looking as good as they are in Illinois, has that loosened up some of the grain that was stored in the bins over there?
I think that and just the reality of the clock is ticking here. We did see pretty good movement on the old crop and some new crop as well. On the rally last week, we had seen movement all along here and gotten our producers to even sell some 2025, at least in the corn market here, to kind of get things started. And, it's an environment, I think, Chip, where you have to have kind of a defensive attitude here and realize that, look, these aren't the, coming off the COVID years, the 2021, the 2022, type of numbers. We're going to be looking at, big supplies here and margins on the farm or at the farm level that are going to be kind of challenging here.
Yeah. Yep, no doubt. So what did you make of how the market traded today? Let's just go to that to get this all started here. Beans were lower, but dang, they got up off the mat and came back, didn't they?
Yeah, they sure did. And, kind of a moral victory. But I think first things first, we got to get Davis Michelson back on the mic here. I mean, nothing against the Big Apple here, but you give the guy 2 days off and we get slaughtered here. So put that boy back at the station.
Yes.
But back to the action today. Like I said, a little bit of a moral victory of sorts. Beans making a new contract low, and we're probably keying off in November at this point. August is more or less in delivery here. So new contract low came off of that good reversal action, but not quite a close higher, not really a gap lower here. We had better reversal action maybe in the wheat that also made a new contract low, able to close higher, but it could be a step in the right direction. Unfortunately, beans are just, you're getting kicked while you're down here. The only I think card that had been dealt the grain bulls all summer had been this hotter, drier pattern that was coming and building here for the end of this week and into next week and beyond. And we come in this morning or over the weekend, on Sunday night, and those outlooks had shifted. We're bringing in this tropical moisture, that started to show up in the models on Friday, and all of a sudden that gets taken away. At the same time, we had the court ruling on Friday from the U.S. Appellate Court. And then over the weekend, just for icing on the cake, we have the U.S. announcing a new military command being installed in Japan to combat and be ready for problems in Southeast Asia, which, read between the lines, is a direct swipe at China. And, relations there are getting more challenging, not less, and in the terms of an election and all the things that we can talk about there. It's just, it's been a tough go for soybeans. And I don't know that we've identified the bottom yet, Chip. It feels like we're close, but boy, we haven't been able to turn that corner.
On this, on the political aspects or influence that we've got on this market right now and trying to figure out exactly where we head next with China, the Biden administration has not made an effort when you get right down to it to try to have any kind of a relationship with China. And then you've got Trump, who says, listen, they're strong competitor in the world economy, and he's talking about all these tariffs on Chinese goods coming into the U.S. Damn, I don't see this getting any better anytime soon, and I don't care who's in the White House.
Well, and it's a great point, Chip, and I totally agree with you. It's bad or worse, right?
Yeah.
In terms of what it means to ag, at least in the short run. And we can kind of set aside the whole, I guess, economic and political, debate of the U.S. versus China longer term on those two fronts. And, maybe this turns out, if Trump gets in and he pits the tariffs, maybe it's a good thing short run, and being tough on China here is a good thing longer term. But in the short run, it means, potentially anyway, less soybean demand or less U.S. export demand for soybeans to China. And we're in a situation right now where seasonally, this is the time of the year that we're usually making hay. When the South Americans run out of supply, China and Southeast Asia turn to the U.S. They stay that way until, January, early February, when that new crop becomes available in Brazil again. And right now, we at least to date, we haven't seen those sales come forth. And whether that's a calculated political move by the Chinese government or whether that's just, pricing in general and they think we're going lower, I guess is up for debate. But certainly it's, if you look at what Trump has talked about, I guess there's a silver lining. Last time we got the phase one agreement, but that had to be supplemented with an MFP program direct payments to farmers. I don't think we can't plan for that. We can't really budget around that or trade around that or market around that. So it's a really tough situation for a producer here.
It certainly is. Certainly is. You mentioned the appellate court ruling and the ethanol business has really been pretty good here. Is it going to slow us down that much? We're moving a fair amount of product. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. And I don't think it really slows down the product movement.
Okay.
It's not a huge deal. Did it go the way we would absolutely want it to go? No. Are these decisions going to be reviewed? Yes. Are some of these, small waivers going to be lifted? They probably are. But in the end, does that mean we use a lot less ethanol? I don't think so. Or a lot less bean oil? Probably not. I think what it does mean is, at least in the near term, that we can see RIN values get on the defensive a little bit. And when you're an ethanol producer or a biofuel producer in general, and you're looking at your overall margin, very similar to what we face on the farm with our per acre P&Ls, it's not only what you're selling your product for and what you're buying your inputs for, but it's, okay, is there a government payment that goes along with that, or a crop insurance payment, or another revenue source that I can harvest? And in the case of an ethanol or a biofuel producer, that RIN value is sometimes their profit and keeps them at break even. Now, that's not the case right now. Margins have generally been pretty stable here and pretty durable, but it's another straw on the camel's back, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. For the most part, though, I mean, we've got to say that the biofuels and the demand for ethanol is one of the reasons that we haven't really dipped below the $4 level in that D's corn, right?
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. Yeah. I mean, domestic demand has been very strong, whether it's soybean crush, and you can look at these crush values, $1.87, I think, on the spot board crush here going on tonight in the soybean complex. You can look at it in ethanol, and, they've been our saving grace. And I mean, we're rotating into that type of a future, if you will, Chip, in the sense that, as our export market share becomes smaller and smaller and smaller in places, South America and the Black Seas become bigger and bigger, unfortunately, we're more reliant on that domestic demand. And the biofuels is a very big part of that. And in fact, it's the growth part of that equation. Yeah. So things that slow that down are going to be met with a lot of sensitivity, I think, in terms of where prices are going.
The more things change, the more they stay the same, Dave.
Well, I can't remember who said that, Chip, but...
but I'm telling you, we've been relying on this biodiesel and the ethanol markets for so long. It seems like to talk about anything else, we've got to. And there are other influences, obviously, out there on what's happening with the prices. But boy, oh boy, we spend a lot of time talking about what's going on in the ethanol markets and the demands that we're getting from that. All right, we are in the middle of a conversation with Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. One thing that we've got to do yet, Dave, is you mentioned the yield prospects here a little bit. I want to talk about what the market has got factored in. Is it more than what USDA is giving us at that 181 and the 52 for a national average corn and soybean yield? What might be factored into prices? And then, of course, we got to talk some risk management.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Let's head to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and recap how the markets closed. December HRW wheat futures 7.25 cents higher at 569.25. December SRW wheat up 6.75 cents to 555.25. September corn futures 1.75 cents higher, 396.25. December corn up 2.25 to 412.25. September soybeans 12 cents lower, 10.30. November beans down 9 cents to 10.39.5. December cotton today 122 points higher at 69.21. August live cattle 1.60 lower, 186.97. August feeders 3.27 lower at 256.42.5. And August hogs today 202.5 lower at 91.45.
Are you prepared for
whether you have a large animal or a small one? The Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Don't miss Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, held August 13th through the 15th, hosted in Chippewa County at Close Farms and the Country Fest Grounds. This popular annual event showcases the latest advancements in farming technology. Farm Tech Days offers hands-on experiences, educational opportunities, and access to cutting-edge equipment and solutions in the farm industry. We hope you can join us for 3 days of exhibits, family fun, and food trucks, August 13th through the 15th. Advance tickets can be purchased at wifarmtechdays.com.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
In this season of independence, we salute all those families preparing for the local county fair. To the kids sweating in the barn and all those parents standing ringside, let us help get those animals' diets just right and ready for show day. So grab that blue ribbon and plant your roots with us at Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly cloudy by later this afternoon. High today in the mid-80s with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy, 67. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid with a high of 88. More scattered thunderstorms are possible tomorrow night. Do you need help with back taxes? Call 800-281-8193. Tax Solutions Now, they can help. 800-281-8193. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 83.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Our name says it all. AgriTalk. What more do you need to know?
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad you're with us. We've got Dave Chatterton with us, Strategic Farm Marketing. We're in the middle of the conversation there. Like I said, Dave, I want to talk about what the markets have got factored in on the supply side. And you know, in the July supply and demand report, they stuck right there at trend line, 181 bushels per acre for a national average corn yield. Has the market gone beyond that at this point, do you think?
Yeah, Chip, it's a really interesting, you know, kind of conversation and viewpoint. And I think there are certainly some in the market who have gone above that. And that goes back to the data. And when you look at these crop conditions, when you look at the NDVI readings, when you kind of put those macro numbers together, you know, they point to yields that would be at or above trend. And the USDA calculates those at 181 in corn and 52 in beans. That 181 in corn, as you're well aware, going to be a record by almost 4 bushels an acre. 52 bushels going to match the record that we've had in soybeans. So certainly some pretty high targets. And I think earlier in the year when we were struggling with late planting and rain and, you know, all these issues and replant and all, you know, we were in a spot where the trade was discounting that, okay, and saying, hey, there's no way we're going to get to those numbers. And sure enough, through the season, as these ratings have maintained an above average profile and continue to stay strong for this point in the crop cycle, those yield ideas have come up. And I think right now they're at or even above, as you mentioned, the USDA. So we went from a discount to either par or a premium against those in both corn and soybeans. And kind of a weird year in terms of we've never really had the challenge out there in terms of weather and yield, let alone been able to get the price response that we would hope that would go along with that.
Yeah. Yeah. The situation that we're looking at in corn, you know, when we look back to some of the issues that we had this spring, it kind of makes me wonder if we can anticipate much more than a record yield. I mean, I know that a record yield is definitely in play. I just don't know if trendline is because of some of the bushels that we lost early out of Minnesota, Northwest Iowa in particular. There's some other areas in that Northwest production area that I don't know if they're going to perform well enough to get us all the way to trendline, or if we're just, or if it's going to be just a record yield. But Dave, I don't know if we've seen a setup like this before, where a record yield could be worse than the market expects.
No, Chip, I can't recall that situation either. And it's a situation that, you know, no one is talking, no one in the trading circles of the marketplace is talking about supply. They're all taking it for granted. And that can be kind of a dangerous situation. So I'm in your camp. I'm not sure we're quite up to snuff on these USDA numbers. Is the crop a disaster? No. Is it going to be good for, you know, in the overall viewpoint and a national, you know, scope? Yeah. And of course, you guys have a crop tour coming up here later this month that going to shed some light on that. The next fundamental feature that we get from the USDA comes on August 12th with the supply and demand report. And not only are they going to give us the results of resurveying acreage and the FSA data incorporated into it, they could also change that yield. And there's going to be a number of private analysts that are bringing out their ideas, or, you know, starting this week and working into next week. So we're going to get some information on that, but it's going to be interesting to see how those come out. If you follow the data and nothing but the data in terms of what the USDA and these, you know, satellite systems put out, you're in the camp that supply is more or less assured. If you walk into a cornfield in my county or in your county or different parts of our states, I think you get a wildly varied view of what's going on. And when you try and add all that up, I'm not sure that it adds up to a record corn yield by 3.7 bushels, which is a, you know, not a small number.
Right, right. Do we need to expect much of a change on the acres?
I think there can be some. The market idea here is that we're going to see both corn and soybeans decline, which is a little bit of an unusual situation, Chip. And that goes back to, you know, when we look at what happened in the initial March report, we still had a lot of the plant that was a lot of the crop that was unplanted at that point. The USDA decided to go back and do some resurveying on that. And we've also had some from prevent plant that's crept in. So we're not talking big numbers, but something maybe on the order of 500,000 to 1 million acres, less in corn, and maybe something up as much as 500,000 acres in soybeans. And we'll see how the USDA handles it. They're not always, you know, they don't always see things like you and I do, but that's the market's take on that right now. And so when you combine those losses with a higher yield or a yield at or above the USDA's numbers, we're still looking at a supply situation that's very close to what they've outlined. If not, you know, I think the miss here is probably to the upside, or the bias is to the upside.
Okay. Yep. Well, the USDA number is what matters. What you and I think is, let's take that all with a grain of salt, because it comes down to what USDA thinks for the crop. There's no question about that. So what does all this mean for your attitude about marketing, Dave? Do we still need to be aggressive if get any kind of a rally in here?
Well, I think it depends on your situation, Chip, and everybody's individual. So, as you know, it's always tough to talk generalities. But, you know, my attitude has not changed. I've been talking to our crew or our guys all year about, look, we need to be in a defensive marketing mindset, not an offensive marketing mindset. The offensive is a lot more fun. It's a lot more profitable. Yeah. And, you know, and we can do a lot more things. But, you know, these markets are cyclical, and we're kind of working back into that, you know, that price level where we were in that 2014 to 2019 time period. And when we did that, you know, we had 6 years of corn prices between, I'll just call it roughly 430 and 320. And, you know, same thing on beans. We had a stretch there where we were between, you know, 850 and 1050 in general terms. And we stayed in that range for most of that time period. And, you know, we finally broke out post COVID and with things that happened with the Ukrainian war, et cetera. So, you know, we need those types of events to happen. And, you know, we've been in a very strong margin environment, and now we're looking at a situation where cyclically, I don't see anything out there on the horizon that flips us, you know, back into this bullish mindset. So I think it's a situation where you need to be looking ahead. There's some carry in these markets, more so corn and soybeans. So you need to be taking advantage of that and willing to go out and sell ahead and look at new crop, you know, 2025 and different things here that will allow you to, you know, at least take advantage of some of that carry and get yourself in a position where you can, you know, at least get yourself closer to or above break even.
Man, there was a time where we had to just kick and scream and fight to get a nickel or a dime in corn. And that I had to feel like we're back in one of those times, Dave. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. I mean, look, Chip, we spent the better part of the last 2 weeks coming into this week trying to build up a little bit of a weather premium and kind of come off the rug and or the mat in terms of grain prices. And Thursday, or excuse me, you know, between Friday and today, all that just got, you know, we just got kicked in the teeth, and we're right back pretty much where we started. You know, corn within a few cents of its contract lows this morning, beans making new contract lows. And so, I mean, you know, I'll get some hate mail for saying this, but don't be fooled. I mean, the bears are still in control of this market
very much.
And, you know, if the funds aren't here to buy it, the question is who is and when are they going to come and at what level are they going to come? And, you know, I'll throw that question to you. Maybe Davis can even answer that one, but we haven't been able to really identify it yet. I mean, fundamentally, we look undervalued. I think, you know, we could see China buy some U.S. beans here, maybe a little later in the crop year and some things that are bullish. We're about to get the harvest, you know, lull behind us, I guess, at some point, but we need those surprising things or those big fundamental events in the marketplace that change direction. We're just lacking here for the moment.
Okay. All right, man, what a sloppy start in the livestock.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some better moves. I mean, when you look at the cattle complex, I mean, very strong week last week. And, you know, we had, you know, cash moving, you know, $2 higher. We had the cut out, you know, above that 310 level and some, you know, some positive things going on. And the way we started today, it looked like, hey, we're just going to consolidate around those highs from last week. We tested them a little bit. We fell back. And then all of a sudden, boom, here comes the sellers. And I think that tells you the market's sensitivity to just how high we are and kind of how far we've come. And I don't want to give you the idea that I'm, you know, ultra bearish this cattle market, but yeah, we're in kind of rarefied air here, Chip, and we need to, you know, ideas for cash and for cutout values are higher, I believe, again this week. Offers are, you know, Corn Belt offers are $200 plus for fat cattle. And I mean, you know, you don't hear that every day.
No.
So, you know, we'll see how things go. I think it's a pretty delicate dance here in terms of keeping the demand side behind these higher, you know, retail prices. Packer margins are still, we'll call them $50 plus or minus ahead, you know, in the red. And I think they're going to be pressing their case here this week to keep that cutout moving higher. And if they can't, you know, they're pretty quickly start pulling these cash bids. So, you know, we'll see where we go.
What's your LRP for live cattle and feeders?
Yeah, I mean, you know, LRP typically better than puts. Depends on your operation and what kind of flexibility you're looking at. But certainly when you look at these numbers out on the back end of the curve and what you can do into next year with a, you know, a Feb at 88, plus and in April at 89 plus, you know, you need to be looking, just like Graham, when we talked about, you need to be looking down the road. These are, you know, you're in the top 5 to 10% of, you know, historical cattle prices. And that should be setting off your radar in terms of, you know, doesn't mean you can't structure something that leaves you some upside, but be aware of, you know, of, we know when the rug gets pulled, it's pretty ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. Real quickly on the hogs here, just when you think it was safe to go back in the water, here they come. The sharks just sold it and sold it hard.
Yeah, really, you know, pretty interesting too. Funds are, you know, not even participating in this market. They sold 4,000 last week. They had a net 7,000 long on the CFTC data Friday. Jeez. And, you know, gap lower here, pretty steep fall across the board here. And, you know, we're just, you know, we're kind of falling out the bottom here. And I think this China story that we just talked, we spent some time talking about the tension between the U.S. and China, and, you know, 20-25% of that pork market is in export demand, you know, provision. So I think that had a little something to do with it as well.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Dave, this was fun. I hope we can do it again.
Yeah, I'd love to. Thanks for having me.
Good. You bet. Thank you so much. Dave Chatterton, Strategic Farm Marketing, was our guest analyst today. Thank you so much today. All right, when we come back, Kerry Artek, Artek Advisory, and WickedStocks.com right here on AgriTalk.
There are better-known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Let the hometown guys at Adams Super Service keep your vehicle's maintenance up to date. With SmartFlow from Adams Super Service, you will see what your vehicle needs, along with a detailed inspection texted directly to you. Visit AdamsSuperService.com to schedule your appointment. Your Napa Gold Certified Car Care Center is Adams Super Service of Durand.
You gotta love the hometown guys.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy!
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive, delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com and never miss a beat.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
If you served, we want you to get the health care and benefits you earned. We want you to come to VA.
There's never been a better time to apply. Under a new law called the PACT Act, we've expanded VA care and benefits to millions of people who served and their survivors.
No matter where you served or how long you served, check out va.gov/PACT to learn more about what VA can do for you and your family.
Come to VA.
Hey y'all, I'm Kelly Clarkson. Every American dreams of creating a better life for his or her family, but in some communities, those dreams face difficult challenges. When we come together to help those in need get the same opportunities as everyone else, we truly are making our country a better place to live for all of us. So look for volunteer opportunities in your community to help others achieve the American dream, all right? This message is courtesy of the United States Air Force.
If the world is your oyster, we've got pearls of wisdom on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Jeff. Glad you're with us. Great conversation there with Dave Chatterton from Strategic Farm Marketing. Enjoyed that and getting to know Dave a little bit there. Carrie Artak, Artak Advisory, is back with us. How you doing, Carrie?
I'm doing great, Chip. Thanks for having me again. Appreciate it.
Glad that you're here, buddy. Artak Advisory, if you would like a free trial, just go to artakadvisory.com, A-R-T-A-C, advisory.com. And you can get a free trial to wickedstocks.com as well. Just go to wickedstocks.com, and Carrie will get you set up with that. All right, buddy, get us started with Novi Beans. What do you got?
Yeah, November Beans, about a month ago, had a significant long-term. I mean, this market's been weak anyway for months, if not the last couple of years, if you look at the long-term charts. But that was a big sell signal when we closed below what is now 1083.5. I'd mentioned this in last week's show. I've been mentioning this area a lot the last couple of months. 1083.5 is now, rather than a floor, a ceiling of resistance, below which longer-term selling pressures are expected to continue building. I'm looking for $10 even over the next 3 to 5 weeks, $9.61 even over the next 2 to 3 months. And as I've said before, in terms of structure, line studies, channel formations on the long-term weekly charts, there is a case to be made for right around 790 into winter, spring. Now, I don't see that as a clear-cut objective unless we were to close, say, below 961 even later this year. But a 1083.5 is an area we need to get back above to neutralize the long-term sell signal. And that in itself would be a sign of strength. I would then anticipate 1180 even over the next 2 to 3 months, or in other words, by November expiration. But until then, that 1083.5 area, 1086.75 was last week's high. We pushed into that zone and have fallen away in a big way. So $10 likely, that could be within a week or two, 961 even over the next 2 to 3 months, so forth and so on. We need to get above 1083.5 to indicate a good low for the year. On to August feeder cattle. This is a market that tested long-term resistance in September. It's like a 30-year channel top that is at 268 even. Now, we closed today at 256.42. I'm only mentioning it because we just might retest it over the next 3 to 5 weeks, as long as we're above 254 even. 254 even is what I would call a midterm floor of support for August feeder cattle, able to contain selling into its expiration, and above which this market is free to rally up to 268 even. It's just that we retested that 268 even channel top in May, and so you can make a case that this market is prone to meaningful declines as we continue into autumn trade. I just don't see a sell signal unless we close below 254 even. Until then, we could bottom out at 254 even, up to 268 within 3 to 5 weeks, back to 254, so forth and so on. But closing below 254 even would set off a longer-term sell signal. Now, there's not enough time in the August contract to yield what would be the next big picture objective at around 237 even, but I do see the October contract likely to follow suit as well. And so it would be an October test of 237 even if the August contract closed this week below 254 even. Until then, we're kind of in a stable two-sided framework as we continue through August. And finally, I've got a stock pick, Vishay Intertechnology Incorporated. It's an American manufacturer of discrete semiconductors. It is a kind of in the big small cap range. You've got a market cap of about $3.3 billion. Average daily volume is a million plus. And so that is one of our criteria. We always go for at least a million average traded a day. And so it is actually right on the precipice, right on the edge of setting off a meaningful buy signal through the rest of the year. It's at 24.16. That is the channel top. We're trading right around 24.17. We got to 24.55 today. If we close Friday above 24.16, that sets off like a six-month buy signal up to 29.18. That's about a 20% move on the stock. On the way up, for those who like the near-term outlook, 2 to 3 months, we should see 26.55. But by the end of the year or into early next, we should see then 29.18, where profits can be taken on a nice 20% move. But until then, if we cannot close above 24.16, this is inversely an area to sell, Vishay. And I would see then about $22 a share over the next 2 to 3 months. That would be a 10% decline from where we are right now, where we could actually bottom out through the rest of the year. So I just kind of bring it up to your attention.
Yeah.
If we close above 24.16, nice buy signal on this particular stock as we move through the rest of the year.
Ticker on that is VSH. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay.
VSH. That's right.
VSH. Okay. Vishay.
New York Stock Exchange. Yep.
Yep. I'll take a look at it. Good stuff, Kerry. Thank you, buddy.
Very good, sir. You have a great day now.
All right. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and wickedstocks.com. All right. Let's take a look at the National Weather Service 6 to 10 day outlook. This is for August 4th through the 8th. I don't know if I have ever seen it before, where so much of the lower 48, most of Alaska, and most of Hawaii is covered up with the expectations for above normal temperatures. But here we are. The very northern tip of Maine is looking at expectations for near normal. Otherwise, we've got above normal temperatures expected over the entire country. Above normal precipitation is expected in the northern production areas. North Dakota, South Dakota, northern Nebraska, very far northwest corner of Iowa, Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, northern Michigan. The rest of the Corn Belt is looking at near normal to below normal precipitation for August 4th through the 8th. Now, let's jump out to the 8 to 14 day because there are some changes coming. We've got the below normal temperatures are starting to make their way into the northern production areas. North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, northern Wisconsin, all looking at below normal temperatures. Just a very narrow band of near normal temperatures through northern Nebraska, northwest Iowa, and central Wisconsin. And then above normal temperatures expected again southern Nebraska, most of Iowa, Illinois, southern Michigan, and the rest of the eastern Corn Belt. So most of the corn and bean crops are going to be looking at near normal to above normal temperatures. But we've got above normal precipitation expected August 6th through the 12th across the entire Corn Belt. You get down into the southeast production areas, and we're looking at near normal precip there. Thank you so much for listening today. Come back tomorrow morning. Congressman Sam Graves from Missouri, Chris Bennett from Farm Journal, and tomorrow afternoon, Garrett Toy, Ag Trader Talk here on AgriTalk.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time-to-talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have